He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. What a beautiful, joy-filled day. I'm so glad to be with you here on this Easter celebration. Again, for those who call Messiah home and family, it is always a joy to be together. And for those who are guests among us, you are family today. And those joining us online, we're welcoming you as well. It's just a great time to be together in God's house and to celebrate. The tomb is empty. And I have a question for you to start things off a little bit. We always have that back and forth with he is risen indeed. And I have a question concerning that. And it's a serious question, a little bit of a tongue twister maybe, but do you really believe that what you believe is really real? And to me, it's a logical question because every Easter, and usually for a few Sundays after, we have that wonderful celebration, that back and forth of he is risen indeed. And so here's what I want you to do. I want you to read that question again in your hearts, in your minds, and I want you to respond as you are moved to do so by faith. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. You know, I am so glad, my friends, that we believe together this amazing truth. I mean, what joy and what hope it brings to us, not just today on Easter, but every single day. The grave is empty. Jesus is victorious. Amen? Amen. But you know, the video we started off with kind of got me thinking a little bit. What if, let's just imagine, what if Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection took place in modern times? I mean, think about it. We have so many ways now that we communicate with one another. I mean, we've got texts, we've got emails, we have social media, and I'll speak to our younger people today. There's this often neglected, archaic thing called a phone call. But we have all of these ways to communicate. And what a blessing those are most of the time. But here's my question is, given our social environment, if that had happened in modern times, would people have believed that Jesus was truly alive? Because I don't know about you, but I've been getting a lot of those schemes, those scams, those phishing things on whether it's text or email. And how about you? I mean, I get them. One of my favorite is, I have your number in my contacts, but not your name. Could you just share your name with me and your social security number and your bank account, you know, passwords, those kinds of things? You know, again, people phishing for someone to take advantage of. And sometimes their messages, they might sound caring and relational. They might even sound loving. But on the other side of those schemes and scams, there is a sinister plot to hurt, to rob people. In fact, I just ran into a friend in the grocery store the other day, and he said that his elderly mother-in-law was robbed of $20,000 here in Lincoln in a phishing email scam. I mean, we just hear that way too often today. And so, again, I don't know, again, if it's true for you, but I think it seems in our world today that it's becoming more and more difficult to maybe distinguish between truth and fiction. You know, whether it's a real person or a computer bot. And then with the advent of new technologies like AI, artificial intelligence, I feel like things are going to get even more difficult. Now, don't get me wrong. I love technology. I love innovations. We are so blessed by so many of those things. But Satan is going to do what Satan always does. He will use our blessings. He'll try to exploit them to hurt people. And so again, at the end of the day, many of us are often scratching our heads, wondering who we can trust. Is that a real person on the other end of that text message? Is that email really from my church or even my pastor asking me to help somebody in need? But my friends, it's not even just about the people trying to exploit you and me. I would also like to call our attention to what voices we allow into shaping our hearts and our minds and that of our children. I mean, think about it today. It's probably true of most kids today that they are probably learning more online than they are in the classroom or in the home. And those are from unknown sources and unknown people all over the world. But there's also the people of all ages that we're allowing social media, we're allowing influencers, we're allowing sites like TikTok or Facebook to shape our morals and values. But based on what? I ran again into somebody and they were telling me about how she was saying how overwhelmed and how frustrated she was feeling and all of the confusion going on in the world today with all the technology. And she even used the example. She goes, I kind of get what it may have felt like for the disciples to be in that tiny little boat on the Sea of Galilee in the midst of a storm. The boat could capsize and sink at any moment. But before you think I was talking about somebody my age or older, I was talking to a college student. And she was just kind of reflecting upon, again, how confusing, how frustrating the world is around her and how much she just yearned to simply know the truth. Without the influencers, without the biases, without the politics, without the personal opinions that are masquerading as absolute truth. And in my conversation with her, she said this, and maybe you'll resonate with it. Sometimes it even just feels easier today to say that the only absolute truth is that there is no absolute truth. But my friends, I don't know, again, if you struggle with that same thing, but let me remind you of something beautiful. Let me remind you of something hope-filled. We just got done declaring absolute truth, didn't we? Because I said he is risen, you said he is risen, and what word did we end on? Indeed. Isn't that absolute truth? Yes, it is, and thank God for it. But where does that truth come from? And all the confusion and even frustrations in our world, where do we turn for that kind of clarity of truth and hope? Well, you see, our loving Heavenly Father, He knows we need that truth. He invites us into the one place that you and I can rest securely to find that perfect truth, not only a blessing us for today, but each and every day He invites us to get into His Word. You see, you and I, we need that solid foundation in this world gone crazy. I mean, even again, this weekend, if we're going to talk about celebrating visibility, we need to celebrate that we get to look into the tomb and it's empty. Jesus is not there. We need to understand that solid foundation when we face illnesses and trials and even death, my friends. Think about standing in a cemetery next to the graveside of a loved one. You and I need absolute truth that brings unending comfort and hope and peace. We need to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the tomb is empty and that Jesus, that hope, is alive. So where do we turn? I hope the answer is obvious. I want you to open up a Bible. Find a Bible. If you don't have one, grab one. If you don't own one, take one. I want you to open up to any book of the Bible. It doesn't matter. Just open it up. If you want to get a head start, you can go to Luke. We'll get there. But I want you to open up your Bible. I want you to just look down. What are you looking at? What's on the pages? You might say words. I'm going to say text. Okay, so you see text in front of you. What does that text create? It creates a message. Not just any message, but the most important message. You are indeed holding and reading the very first, the original text message. And the author is none other than God Himself, who shows His never-ending love to you and I through this message. So what was it? It goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden when sin and death, they invaded God's perfect creation. And what was His text message? I love you, and I'm going to send a Messiah to save you. And then those messages just kept coming. And they were written down throughout the ages, and now you're holding them all bound together. Messages that help us rejoice in all of the blessings and messages that meet us right in the midst of life. Right in the midst of this confusing world and where we need, again, in the midst of our pain, in the midst of our sorrows, in the midst of those, we need a word of hope. We need a word of love, and we need, again, a security that God's truth is power and salvation. That's why at Messiah here as a family, we are not against technology. In fact, we're not against innovation. We're not even against social media. But I'll tell you what we're for. We're for the Word of God. We're for His Word of truth. That's why we encourage you to be reading it every single day, so that in this confusing world, you can be filled with absolute truth, with hope, with joy, no matter what's going on, or no matter how things might feel like they're falling apart around you. Now, I want you to turn with me to Luke 24. Luke, we're going to keep that Bible open. Luke chapter 24. I want to see how God uses social media of His day. Okay? And it's beautiful here. This is the story. This is what we're gathered here for. The women, let me set it up. The women, the disciples, they were in desperate need of a message. They needed a word of hope. All the cell towers were down that day. I mean, it was like sheer panic in Jerusalem. All right? And so first we need to understand that the news of Jesus' death did go viral. Everything they had hoped for was collapsing. They were confused and they were scared. And often, like we see online, the chatter had become deafening, and the problem was their conclusions were almost wholly inaccurate. So God needed to get a message of hope that would right the ship, that would give them hope. God the Father couldn't wait to drop truth in their lap. So here's how it works. Verse 1 of chapter 24. The first day of the week, early dawn, the women go to the tomb and they're carrying spices with them. This is Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, Salome, and some other ladies. They're all going there. This is not an easy walk, but it is a time of socializing, okay? They're comparing notes. They're trying to figure out everything that went on, but their conversation is missing the most important thing, the rest of the truth. So what happens? They get there. The stone is rolled away. This is not a happy moment. In fact, this just builds on their fears. They're wondering, okay, how are we going to move the stone? Now they see that it's already missing, and they're like, what is this? Is this grave robbers? Is this Pilate's men? Are these the religious leaders? They've come in and done something. But then to add to their problems, they go in and they find not. They don't find the body of Jesus there. Their fear becomes reality. Have you ever had that happen, where your greatest fear becomes a reality and it feels like the world is just crashing in on top of you? Can I share with you just a brief story of when it happened to me? And I've shared this before, you may have heard it, but it happened 30 years ago for me, 1994. And I was on a vicarage, which is an internship here in Nebraska, studying to be a pastor. I was not yet married, but I had been dating my wife, Beth, for a few weeks. My dad had been diagnosed with terminal cancer, and we knew the time for him to pass was quickly approaching. My other three brothers were already married, and I remember when we had gathered once, I just said to them, I said, my greatest fear is to be home all by myself and to get that phone call. On Wednesday evening, October 12th, I got home from church. And there was a message on my answering machine from my brother Jeff, who was a pastor here in Nebraska at the time as well. And he said, hey, give me a call when you get in. We need to make travel arrangements. And I just figured he was planning ahead. We knew it was coming. And so I called him, and I said, he goes, we should probably get some plane tickets to go back to Florida. And I said, when that time comes, it'd probably be a really good idea for us to kind of combine our efforts. And then he said it. He goes, oh, you didn't hear yet. Dad passed about an hour ago. Here I was, all by myself. My worst fear had become a reality. The world, the ceiling, just felt like it was crashing in on me. But God wasn't done yet. God, just moments after hearing that news and feeling the weight of the world falling on me, my doorbell rang. I went and answered it, and it was Beth. You see, God knew that I needed a messenger. I needed a messenger to bring me the truth of His love in a moment of deep grief and deep pain. And my friends, God knows your pain. God knows your grief. God knows your troubles, and He does not leave you alone to face them in this world by yourself. He didn't leave the women in the tomb that day alone either. In the depths of their grief and pain, and now in their panic and fear, God sends angels. And what is an angel? It is a messenger to bring them truth. And the truth brings hope and healing and joy and peace, even in the midst of our worst fears and in our deepest moments of pain. Look at me with me how this unfolds. So they go in and they're all, you know, everything is going from bad to worse. Now they're perplexed, they're confused. They see these two men in dazzling outfits. And of course, like most people, they bow to the ground in fear. But the angels ask this question, why do you seek the living among the dead? And then here it is. Hashtag truth bomb. Boom. He is not here. He is risen. I mean, think about it. They weren't carrying their Bibles that day, so the angels couldn't point to a chapter and verse. And so instead they say, I want you to use something else God has given you right here. He says, remember. Remember how he told you while he was with you in Galilee that the Son of Man was going to have to be delivered into the hands of sinful men and they would be crucified, and on the third day, what? He would rise. So my question is, was this messaging from God effective? Was it successful? Well, verse 8 says it, and they remembered. They remembered his words. Today, think about this. How are we to remember his truth if we don't stop long enough to listen to his voice? The paper Bibles you're holding, my friends, are not going to buzz and vibrate, letting you know that there's a message for you. But your hearts will. Both in the joys and celebrations, as well as the troubles, the trials, and the pains, they reverberate within us, letting us know we need to hear a word from our loving God and Father. And guess what? He warmly invites us to remember. He says, remember my words to you. The women remembered. What do they do? Well, what do you do when you know the truth? I mean, keep this in mind. The truth shapes us. What we believe will drive how we live. Again, for those out in the world who believe that life is all about pleasure and happiness, there is an endless pursuit of those things at all costs. But for you and I who believe the truth that he has risen, when we believe that truth, then our lives are already filled with hope and meaning and purpose, and now we get to live for him. So what did the women do? Well, they told. They went back. They not only liked the message, they forwarded it, they shared it. These women became the first evangelists, the first influencers of the rest of the story, the gospel message. Now, where I'm going to wrap this up today is not always on a great note. We'll end it on a great note, but the problem is not everybody's going to believe that truth today. In fact, the women go back, and even the disciples, they said, this seems like an idle tale, and they didn't believe them. Peter and John had to run to the tomb to find out for themselves. Thomas had to put his hands into the nail holes and into Jesus' side to know it was absolutely true. And my friends, not everyone is going to believe this truth. And I'll tell you, there are going to be times when you and I will question it and may even doubt it. But here's the thing. When we open up his word and we remember, that truth will shape our hearts, our minds, and our lives. And I want to finish with this. Pastor Dustin brought it up this week in Holy Week from John 14. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. When we believe, all right, when we understand that, when we follow him who is the way, and we believe in him who is the truth, then he blesses us with his gift of life, now and for eternity. My friends, there is no greater truth than Jesus lives. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia and amen.